became obviously a very powerfully influential group. Ms. Manado, and it's an interesting shiluv between a kind of critique of the Musar movement and very much in the classical, let's say, Thewaitian derech, but with some very, the way I understand it in any case, with some very specific dimensions associated with Chazanish, some that, are not so well known. And there's a terrific book on the Chazanish that came out a couple of years ago. In Eretz Yisrael, in the last number of years, I don't know the people, but what the phenomenon is an interesting phenomenon. In the last number of years, there have been a lot of research done, I guess, and a lot of PhDs, I guess, have been written on figures of the last century, century and a half, some of the, Rosh Yeshiva of Europe, by people who are qualified to write them. That sounds like a peculiar thing to say, but in Jewish studies circles, that's not always a given. Sometimes you have people who are well-trained methodologically as historians, but they don't really have, if you're talking about topics like this, you have to be first and foremost somebody who spent many years and whose heart and soul comes from the world of the Beis Medrash. Otherwise, what other people think is objectivity can end up just being, insensitivity or just not having the capacity really to understand, what things really mean and to assess them and to evaluate them. So as it just so happens that in the last number of years, there have been a couple of seemingly very good people who have that kind of background, yeshiva background, but who, then went into law, Mishpat Ivri, or Jewish history, and who've written a couple of very excellent books. So there's one fellow, Binyamin Brown, who I don't know, I never met him, but he wrote this massive book on the Chazanish, which I think is really a superb book. He really covered, Chazanish wrote, on everything. And Chazanish was a very big mechadesh. I mean, he didn't just write, little variations on things. He was just incredibly, independent. And it's very interesting to study his works. Again, I'm far from an expert, but just having picked it up when I do, everybody knows that he was a critic of Reb Chaim. I think one of the reasons that he was not only was a critic of Reb Chaim's derech, but I think he was a critic of drachim, and I think that's really more the point. The idea that there is a system or a substructure to lumdus or to halachic thinking is something which I think ran against Chazanish's instinct. He was a very instinctive mechadesh. So, again, my own personal identification for whether it matters or not is obviously with the school of Brisk. But Chazanish is a phenomenon, and of course the impact that he's had on the individual kiddushim, the fact that he ranges all over the entirety of halacha, is just an astonishing thing. So it is this fellow Binyamin Brown just wrote talk about all of Chazanish, but clearly he read it all, and he had the background to understand and appreciate it and evaluate it, and he did really an excellent job. So that's something for people to look at if they want to study more about Chazanish. So maybe what we'll do is we'll just do some. Somebody wrote recently a thesis about that he published about Rav Shimon Shkaf, which somebody gave me to look at, which is quite interesting. Again, people who come from the Olam HaTorah and spent many years just learning Lishma, and they're in a position, together with being trained in a way that scholastically, being able to assess it and so on, it gives people a very different perspective and a tremendous advantage. And just like you can't, you know, write intelligently about the Rambam, you know, if you don't understand, you know, you can write about the Rambam's philosophy, maybe, but you can't write about the Rambam, you know, unless you spend many, many years in a base medrash or in a shir or in book. And, right, so that's, that happens to be that there's a way of working down in recent years that's worth consulting. So maybe what we'll do is we'll take the topics. Again, Rav Cook also, there's been a lot written about Rav Cook in recent years. Again, I didn't make up the suggestion, for sure. In some respects, Rav Cook and Rav and the Chazon Ish are like parallels, and in many respects, parallel opposites in some of the things that they emphasize. But both coming, obviously, from, you know, from a Lithuanian tradition. Rav Cook was a Talmud in Belogen, and, you know, was a Lithuanian, you know, Talmud Chacham. So maybe what we'll do is we'll pick some topics or some themes and just do a little bit across, and do a little bit, you know, introduction or of each or some of them. And, of course, to compare it also to the world's Brisk, especially as the Rav described it in Ish Halacha and in Avodah Midot, you know, to, so it won't just be about, but maybe we'll use chunks of it with Tachon. Tachon's a very fascinating book. Also, the language alone is just incredibly impressive, just the language, it's just the, sometimes it's poetic. So, okay, so I think we'll start that. For today, we don't have that much time, I just wanted to say something about the Aseres HaDibros, I'm a little bit, I guess, connected to all of these themes. Again, we've talked about the past that the talked in the past that that the Aseres HaDibros, which appears in the parsha that we're reading this week in Parshas Yisro, constitutes, you know, a kind of notwithstanding, you know, the protests to the contrary in some of their applications, Taroma Saminim, constitutes a different Chavta Shel Torah. Again, by which I mean that the, on the one hand, the Gemara says on Daf Hei and Brachos is the same Gemara that we quoted when we were talking about Birchas HaTorah in different genres. So one of the genres, of course, is Aseres HaDibros. Right? The Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Shemos, V'etna l'cha sluchas ha'evan ha'torah v'ha'mitzvah asher kasavti l'horosam. So Luchos Elo Aseres HaDibros, Torah Zamikra, Mitzvah Zumishna, Asher Kasaf Elo Nevi Muksum, Laharosam Ze Gemara, Malamet Shekulam Nitna Lamosha Misina. So in addition to, again, we talked about genres and different Cheftzes Shel Torah in our Birchas HaTorah Shiurim. But one of the things that stands out about this Gemara, and I've mentioned in the past, is the, you know, it's not just the typical, you know, Mikra, Mishnah, Gemara, you know, but you have Tanakh, or Nach rather, separate from Torah, that's very unusual, and Asher Kasavti, but you also have Aseres HaDibros as a separate genre. And of course that raises a very obvious question, and that is that Aseres HaDibros is part of Mikra, right? The others, at least, are independent. Mishnah is different than Mikra, which is different than Neviim and Ksuvim, and so on and so forth, I mean, obvious. And Aseres HaDibros overlap. And as we've seen, you know, we have our own things that we emphasize, you know, in patterns, and I think that's a good thing, mostly. And that is that when the more there is overlap, you know, overlap, you know, is something that accentuates or emphasizes, you know, what's singular and different and unique, right? It's obviously not repetitive. And so there's something about the Aseres HaDibros. And that, of course, you know, is a very acute issue in the olam of halacha and machshava. Right? On the one hand, you know, this Gemara and the fact that we read B'tam Elyon and the fact that, you know, the minhag of Klal Yisrael was to stand during the reading of the Aseres HaDibros. And the Gemara in Brachos says that it used to be part of tefillah. All of these and more indicate that Aseres HaDibros is really something different. You know, the Pia Gvura, it was the moment that the world, you know, was created for, and all of those things. And on the other hand, right, there's also a recognition in Chazal and in policy of Chazal that that special status, you know, could be, you know, misconstrued and could be a pathway to, you know, to problems, ideological issues and problems. So that's why the Gemara says that Mishum Taromes Aminim, because people went too far in accentuating, right, the Aseres HaDibros's singular character, Mishum Taromes Aminim, they cut it out from daily tefillah, right? And again, there's a debate what that means. What the problem was the problem that people were saying that, you know, Mipia Gvura was limited to the Aseres HaDibros. Was it a more subtle problem, the problem of saying that, you know, there are, you know, there are axiological differences in Chafetz Shel Torah, not every, and again, the problem in axiological differences in Chafetz Shel Torah, by the way, is similar to the problem of Trei Kameya, you know, if you will, and that is that, you know, it's hard to say that you can do Trei's Kameya because, as we discussed, you know, you can't do better than two Edim. It's a gold standard. And the problem with, you know, this aspect of Taromes Aminim is that, you know, Chafetz Shel Torah is Dvar Hashem, and according to the Ramban, Shemosav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and everything that goes with that, right? We're connecting our topics. And as such, you know, it has a maximal Kedusha, right? And therefore, it can be offensive, you know, if you emphasize too much the special Kedusha of Aseres HaDibros, or if you imply that this Aseres HaDibros is worth more than some other pasuk or psukim, you know, in the Torah. At the same time, what does it mean then to speak of it as a separate genre if we've already said it? So the answer apparently is that Aseres HaDibros, right, has two dinim, two dimensions. Again, much in the same way, right, that we, you know, speak about Kedushas Yisrael, right? In a certain respect, you know, the Kedushas Yisrael of a Kohen and a Levi in Yisrael are the same. And the Kedushas Yisrael certainly of Anashim and Nashim are the same. Again, other topics that we've discussed in terms of the bottom line of Kedushas Yisrael. And yet there are differences, and we'll see in a moment, we'll talk a little more about it. As I've said many times, Halakha is has a very specialized perspective on many things, including, you know, categories of people. So the answer is that there are, you know, in terms of Kedushas Yisrael, it's all the same, but there's also something called Kedushas Kahuna. There's something called, you know, the status of Leviya. I'm not saying Kedushas Leviya necessarily, that's part of the issue, and so on and so forth, right? And Yehuda has access to Keser Malchus. That's not a din in, it's not a change in the status of Kedushas Yisrael. It's an, you know, it's an added or different, you know, dimension. And this is true about Chafetz Shel Torah or genres as well. It seems like what we're saying is that every Chafetzah that is part of Mikra is the same, right? B'toras Mikra. Maybe that's exactly what the Gemara means. But in addition to that, there's a separate din of Aseres HaDibros. And the Tam Elyon versus Tam Tachton and some of the other aspects of it reflect that. Because, again, there's still a Tam Tachton, right, in addition to being a Tam Elyon. So it implies that there really are two dinim. So what is that second din? Probably it has to do with many things. Number one, the fact that, again, that tochen, or from that tochen, or that tochen, you know, constituted the mifgash, if you will, the meeting place, right, between Klal Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel Olam, and it was the awaited, you know, justification for the existence or the creation of the world, the tohu vavohu that otherwise would have followed, but we understand what it means. And that moment, it was also the moment when all Klal Yisrael reached a certain madrega of nevuah, right, something which, again, there's a whole interesting discussion in the Mefarshim, but that means, and comparing that to real Nevi'im, where, you know, in some respects, Klal Yisrael at the moment of Gilui Shechina and hearing the Aseres HaDibros were on a level, you know, again, that was higher than, to have similar discussion in last week's Parsha, right, you know, Mashara Shivcha Alayam Lara Yecheskel Ben Buzi Kol Yamav, that, you know, it's hard to say, what does that mean? You know, and they have the same idea in Gilui Shechina. Because on the one hand, obviously, a trained Nabi, you know, who
is able to have that kind of bond and experience, you know, even not in those, you know, major moments, magical moments, mystical moments, whatever you want to call them, historic moments of Klal Yisrael, is somebody who's on a higher madrega, right? So the answer, again, there are two different dinim here. So on the one hand, just the fact that Klal Yisrael at that moment achieved that status, which was, you know, both more, you know, albeit different, that in itself makes the experience and the tochen different. Moreover, it's something I mentioned last year a lot because we came up in some of the other things we were discussing. That is that the, you know, Sfarno doesn't exactly say this, but if you connect the dots, you know, having, you know, read Sfarno's, I guess, you know, this is the conclusion that you, I think, legitimately come to, and it's an exciting one. Sfarno makes the point in Parshas Shmos, and again in Mishpatim, and again several times in this parish in the end of the Torah, right, that Moshe Rabbeinu's special status as a Navi, right, did not begin with his first Nevuah, right, that the Sne incident, right, he still had to look away. Again, other Mepharshim don't read it this way, but that is how the Sfarno does. Sfarno says, oh, apparently, you know, what the Torah describes in Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, in several places about the uniqueness of his prophecy, especially in Vizos HaBracha, but also, you know, in Baloscha and so on, apparently didn't have that yet, because otherwise why did he have to, you know, turn his face away? Says the Sfarno, he really didn't have that until the moment of Gilui Shechina at Maimed Har Sinai, when he stood together with all of Klal Yisrael, you know, and experienced, you know, the Dibros. So he doesn't say what I'm adding, that one might say, which is that, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu attained that status only in the framework of, or b'schus of, you know, his leadership of Klal Yisrael, or his being the leader at the moment of Gilui Shechina and the experience of the Aseres HaDibros. He does not say that. But as I say, I don't think it's a conclusion that you know, that is very speculative, given what he does say. So the point is that there are the event of the Aseres HaDibros, the tochen of the Aseres HaDibros, being the Chafetz Shel Nevuah, which accomplished all this, the Chafetz Shel Nevuah that was the Eidos, right, of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, or the framework for that Eidos, right? We talked again so much about Eidos and Trei Kameya. And again, the Rambam Nuchas Yisodi HaTorah, and the Ramban in, you know, several places in his Perush Al HaTorah, and especially in Torah Hashem Tamima, where he talks about somebody said we should be learning the Kuzari, right? What? Oh yeah. Oh, you didn't mention that, did you?
I skipped over it.
Okay. So Torah Hashem Tamima, it happens to be a terrific, should we just do Torah Hashem Tamima? Ramban. So Torah Hashem Tamima, but the Kuzari also, this is a very important theme, right, in his work. You know, the Eidos of Klal Yisrael, you know, as a nation, as a corporate collective entity, that is the basis for, for Emuna, right? And Bitachon, but also Emuna. So again, there are certain, I think, very obvious elements that, you know, that elevate Aseres HaDibros, you know, as an experience, as a cheftz, as a content, which already make it unique. And the idea that there's a connection between the tochen of that and the fact that it was chosen for this Eidos, for this Hayom Hazeh Niyesa La'am, frankly. It's when Klal Yisrael became a nation. It's when, therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, according to the Sfarno at least, was elevated to that level of Nevuah. You know, it's when everybody became Nevi'im and Klal Yisrael established that they had that capacity. All these things are probably connected also to what the tochen of the Aseres HaDibros was. And I think it goes, you know, beyond that. As well, it's the range of the Aseres HaDibros, getting more into the tochen part now, and it's also you know, the significance of that, or the multiple significances of that range. By range, we mean the fact that Anokhi Hashem Elokecha, of course, the beginning, that's about belief, theology. And of course, you know, switching into, to use Rav Hirsch's projection of the structure, you know, you start with theology and belief, then you move to, you know, mitzvos maisios, you know, and then you conclude with the internalization, you know, of values, osachmod velosasavet. So you have three, I guess, pillars of Yahadus, which are very different from each other, each of which is indispensable, each of which is very characteristic, and the combination of which is very characteristic of what makes Avodas Hashem, you know, singular. You know, of course, beginning with Anokhi Hashem Elokecha, which obviously is the Ikar. That's when we speak about someone who's a kofer, as being a kofer b'Ikar. I think I mentioned that the Sosefta and Shavuos says that the, you know, he sanui librios, Tosefta and Shavuos in Ram Sechta, so the sanui librios is a person who is a an atheist. Okay, now it's not true that every atheist that we know is a bad person or a sanui librios. That's just not the case. But what the Tosefta is explaining is that somebody who is kofer b'ikar is in the end somebody who you can't rely upon, right, to or you have to rely upon his instinct rather than his belief or commitment, you know, for basic core values. He might be somebody who just believes, like a malek, you know, in the concept of mikra nikra. The Tosefta doesn't say this, I'm way elaborating. He just says that somebody who is not a believer is somebody who could easily become a murderer. And I'm just adding, you know, that many people who are not believers are far from being murderers. Some people have a very strong ethical sense. But it's despite the fact, and or maybe it's their you know, subconscious link to belief, frankly. But if you don't believe that there's any purpose in the world and that this, you know, everything is a, you know, coincidence, you know, and you know, chemical or you know, a physics accident of, you know, of major dimensions, then it's there's no sustainable, put it this way, value system in the end of the day, because there's no purpose to life and there's no bigger aspiration, and there definitely is nothing approximating an objective value system, which is why the world of philosophy really struggled mightily, absent religion, right, to justify ethics. And a lot of the justifications, in my opinion, are in the category of, you know, kind of pseudo, you know, religion. It's certainly reliance on or faith in elements in human nature or other, you know, values, which if you were to take like a very consistent atheistic position or mechanistic position of the world, are not really justified. And again, I'm not interested in undermining that. I think it's a good thing. It's been good for mankind, and we should promote it. I just think that, you know, it's pseudo faith, you know, albeit denied by those who profess it. So that's what the Tosefta means. Anokhi Hashem Elokecha is critical for everything, right? It's critical, number one, for what we believe as believers, is the purpose of the world, is bonding with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and being connected to that greater and higher purpose. So obviously everything starts with Anokhi Hashem Elokecha. But by extension, it also gives, you know, meaning to the world and a foundation, you know, for there being values and standards and so on that is indispensable for even ignoring that part. You can't ignore it if you're really a ma'amin, but lu yitzuya that you could, as I say, and that's really what the Tosefta is declaring, and we've seen this. We see this in civilizations. You know, they turn their back on religion, and we see what happens, you know, at a certain point. It's also true, to be fair, that civilizations do things in the name of religion, which we consider to be imprecise, inaccurate, cases, egregious, you know, perversions of religion. And that's something that we need to contend with as well. But that's not what we're talking about right now. So that starts with Anokhi Hashem Elokecha. Then you have the Maisa Mitzvahs part, which begins right after that. And that really is Yadus's particular contribution. You know, in the history of religions, people have noted that. Nobody has as extensive, you know, Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lezakos Es Yisrael Lefika Chirbel Em Torah Mitzvos. You know, this idea of doing actions and all sorts of actions, you know, not just obvious good deeds, but, you know, rituals and the range of rituals and good deeds and the formalization of and the, you know, objectification of even good deeds, you know, being put in the form of measurable maisa mitzvos and so on. All of that is in the phenomenology of religions, right? I think the chiddush of Yahadus, in terms of its extensiveness. I'm not saying other religions don't have some equivalent of maisa mitzvos. For us, Bnei Noach also have, you know, some things, shevim mitzvah Bnei Noach. But the extensiveness of it, the comprehensiveness of it, the way that, you know, the prominence and especially the character of it, you know, maisim, mitzvahs trichas kavana, ein trichas kavana, shiurim, chatzi shir, all that whole perspective on deeds, good deeds, important deeds, you know, the deeds that give our meaning to life and that bond us again with our Creator, right? Sof davar kol nishmat, you know, et elokim yirat mitzvotav shemor, gizeh kol ha'adam. That's really something which is singular. And it's captured, and again, in that range or in the transition from one to the other, Nazaros HaDibros. And, you know, while Mendelssohn's, you know, supposed comment, you know, that Judaism is a religion of action and not a, you know, and not a religion of belief, and that the only dogma, you know, in Yahadus is its dogmalessness, that's certainly not accurate. There are Ikari Emunah, they are connected with Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Emunah about the Rabbonu Shalom, Emunah about Kal Yisrael and its history, Emunah about the Torah and about belief in the Torah and the immutability of the Torah. So that's a gross and inaccurate exaggeration. But the notion that actions are very central, and what I'm trying to show is a very characteristic way that there are, you know, certain kind of actions, is really a big chiddush. That these actions also objectify values, you know, that the, in other words, that the norms kind of have embedded within them values, is something that is also a chiddush of Yahadus, both on a behavioral level, and that's, of course, again, the Sefer HaChinuch himself, Chinuch's big contribution, is the idea of achar hamasim, right? That the achar apulos, you know, is that a person's, you know, beliefs, you know, come as a result of the actions that he does, a very behavioristic perspective. But not only that, but also, or connected with that, again, the values themselves, and that's kind of what we do. Maisim shebechol yom, you know, whatever limud we're involved in, you know, whether it's sukkah or shavuos, you know, kiddushin or sanhedrin or zvachim or whatever it is, it's all about understanding better the concepts that are objectified and embedded, you know, in the norms. And then in the end, you know, you have the switch to the end of the Esaros HaDibros, which we've talked about at other times, and that is lo sachmod velo sisaveh, where the Ibn Ezra raises the question and the chinuch also, each one, the chinuch and tesaveh and Ibn Ezra and Losachmod, one of my favorite passages, that, you know, people think that you can't, or people ask how you can legislate in the area of belief and emotions. And that's exactly the chiddush haTorah, that you can, through behaviorism of maisim and through the reinforcement of emunah, like Ramban speaks about, the reinforcing of Amunah, or Rosh Layakim as Divra Torah Zos, and by hammering home certain values, like if you really, you know, are immersed in the idea of, you know, Bailus, and you really understand, you know, the details of, you know, Geneva and Gazela, and if you really understand deeply and are inspired by, you know, the Torah's perspective, the Halacha's perspective on Ishus, so that creates like a certain foundation which, you know, doesn't allow you even to take seriously right, unless you become delusional, you know, violating those things. And again, that it doesn't mean that there isn't still a struggle, you know, Yetzer Hara and you know, Taiva and things of that sort. But, you know, things become anathema, right, just like I've said in the past, like somebody once told me this when I was younger, this mushel, which just stuck with me, and that is that, you know, people who, most people don't smoke anymore, but which is a good thing, but, you know, people, it's smoking is a compulsion. It's an addiction, basically. But, it's very hard for people to let it go. But from people who smoked, didn't smoke on Shabbos, right? And that's a remarkable thing. Addiction people were just like very struck by that. And it's because like they couldn't, like it wasn't even an option. It wasn't a reality. So what constitutes your reality, legislating in the area of emotions? You know, when something becomes bigger than life, it's not just some abstract obligation that is external to you. That's all in the Aseres HaDibros. That's the range of the Aseres HaDibros. But the range of the Aseres HaDibros isn't just, oh, you know, these three parts, or there are other aspects in the Aseres HaDibros that reflect a range, but even more than that, the interaction between the parts of the range. So we know that part of the Aseres HaDibros story, you know, is the practically even split between Ben Adam Lamakom and Ben Adam L'Chavera. And there are other points as well. So it's interesting that, again, the first comment of Rashi, I mentioned in the past also, that in the Aseres HaDibros, and in the introduction to the Aseres HaDibros, Rashi quotes the Medrash, Vaydaber Elokim, right, Eis Kol HaDvarim, right, with a lot of, Ha'ela Leimor. So Rashi commenting on Eis Kol HaDvarim, quoting the Medrash, right, says that Melamed Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu Kol Aseres HaDibros B'Dibur Echad. So that's what Chazal say. And the question is, what do we mean by that? And clearly, what we mean by that is that part of the story of the Aseres HaDibros is not only the range of what is included in it, but I guess the integration and the harmony, as well as the you know, sparking of an interaction, one piece from the other, you know, that results from putting it all together, from the whole being more than the sum of its parts. I was looking this morning that in the Maral's Perush, I said we mentioned the Maral, right? In the Gurarye on Rashi, which is, you know, packed with all sorts of interesting things. So he comments on this phenomenon. Because again, it's obvious. I mean, what does the Medrash want from this? What does the Rabbonu Shalom want from this? What's the point of all the Aseres HaDibros, you know, being B'dibur Echad? Right? I mean, to show that the Rabbonu Shalom can do it, like Zachar V'Shamar B'dibur Echad, you know, we already know, you know, his virtuosity, you know, things that we can't even understand. So it isn't that, obviously. There's a conceptual point that's being made. So the Maral has two suggestions. His second suggestion, which he particularly likes, I guess the most, is Va'od Yesh Bazeh, Hu Mora Alamala Gdola Shel HaTorah, Shekolot Sheyisrachik Hadavar Milamala V'Yavo Le'Olam HaTachton Yispared V'Yischalek. This is a typical Maral idea, a very fascinating one. V'Chol Shekorov El Hashem Yisbarach Hu Ha'Echad Ha'Emes. This idea, it's like a philosophical idea, you know, that unity is associated with the Rabbonu Shel Olam, you know, and pirud with, you know, with the physical world, and this is the Chazal's way of emphasizing, based on their diuk in the psukim, that the Aseres HaDibros, that the Torah itself, which is captured by the Aseres HaDibros, a Torah nitna mipiv yisale, right, ve'en davar karov ela echad rak haTorah, v'lefikach nitna Torah mipiv b'dibur echad legamri, and then he says, v'zeu perish amiti. Who MS, he likes this parish very much. And I think it's a very compelling parish. But this first parish, I'm more interested in, and I would like to take it even further, and that is Afagav Shelo Yivinu B'dibur Zeklom. He says, like, what's the point? I mean, people couldn't, that part of it, I mean, people couldn't process, essentially. So what's the point of it? Amr b'dibur echad lomar ki kol haTorah inyan echad v'dibur echad. Sharei kol haTorah heim yotzim me'aseres haDibros. This is the view of Rav Sajagon and the Ramban, that you can really extract kol haTorah kula from the aseres. Another feature of Chefsa, I mentioned five or six already, there are probably numerous more. What is this separate genre all about? This is one of it. It's Kolel Kol HaTorah Kula, which of course fits in nicely with the idea that all of it was said together. Sorry, Kol HaTorah Kula Yotzim Aseres HaDibros, right? And therefore, V'nafka Mina Bezeh, Shim Omar Sha Kol HaTorah Kula Minash Shemayim Chutz Mi Pasuk Zeh, Shomer Moshe Miatzmo, Hu Bechal Kidvar Hashem, right, Baza, the Kofer Bakol, the Kofer rather Bekol HaTorah, Ki Ma'akar Sha Kol HaTorah Kula Dibur Echad, Bein Zeh Below Zeh, So that's, I think he gives a very practical and an important, nafkamina and extension. Meaning, but really what he's saying, of course, is much bigger than the nafkamina, right? What he's saying, the nafkamina is, what constitutes kfira batorah, meaning you have to take it all or nothing, because it all is basically integrated, is what he's saying. And therefore you can't say, like a ger, as we know, it's a, cannot say, I'm a kabel, all the mitzvos, except that he might not be able to, lemaisa, to implement them all. That's a different question. That's a huge debate. But at minimum, what it means is that he can't principally reject one of the mitzvos, because basically that means he, not because, oh, we insist on all of them. Maybe that's the reason too. You want to be part of the, this group. You want to join the constitutional, nation. So then you have to accept all the laws. That may be the point. Or what he's saying is, because all the laws are integrated, and therefore you don't accept all the laws, you're not accepting that system at all. That's a very powerful idea. It's what Chazal say about Avodah Zarah, right? That if a person is Mekayim Taryav Mitzvos and just not Avodah Zarah, so you don't say he's an Avarian, who did Taryav Mitzvos, but, right? The Taryav Mitzvos, it's a linchpin, so without it, zero. So, of course, Avodah Zarah is still different than the others, but what we're saying is that there's a certain integrity, and therefore you don't have the luxury, let's say, picking and choosing, because it's all integrated. Right? That's an important idea. Chazal say that the mitzvos, asei and los asei, are like ramachei borim and shasa gidim. Right? So, again, symbolically, when people, that implies a certain totality and a certain necessary. Again, we don't know maybe what every, aver and every nerve or gid, does, but presumably as we get better, understanding, physiology, we'll find that there probably aren't redundancies, or what appear to be redundancies are occasionally very critical and important, features. So the point is, so it explains Geirus. He does not talk about Geirus or Kfira, and so on. But the bigger point, of course, is that Kol HaTorah Kula is very wide-ranging. And even in the types of things in the Aseres HaDibros are wide-ranging. And the Aseres HaDibros is kind of a microcosm. The purpose of the microcosm is to underscore the unity and the integrity and the purpose of this virtuoso, Dibur Echad is to underscore it even more, to say that even the Aseres HaDibros, which itself is already a microcosm, the microcosm, is integrated and united. But integrated, not united in the sense of not being different, but in the sense of all the pieces being necessary. And therefore the range of them, makes for, like, if they were all the same, like Yigalei Milsa L'Mafreya, that you could see they're all the same, they're all just expressions of one idea, that's one kind of an integration. But that clearly is not the case with Torah, and not even with the Aseres HaDibros, because even in the Aseres HaDibros, say we have this range, and we have different Mekzos HaTorah, and, we do speak of Torah as being Chasuma, but also Megillah, and the world of Halacha itself, there are different disciplines have different rules, even occasionally. So obviously, the differences, the distinctiveness, the specialization that I spoke of before, all of this is part of the story, And then when you say, oh, but it's all one, it's all unit, you can't have one without the other. So it's like this well-oiled homeostasis, you know, system that, you know, just works, you know, together in an amazing way. And that's why you have to be consistent across it, and so on. So I think that's obviously the bigger idea here, not just that, oh, you know, hakol miroa echad nitnu, or you better keep it all, or even that it's all one, you know, and therefore it's all, every piece is indispensable to the total. But it's more than that. It's how do we look at the differences? We celebrate the differences, and we also understand that the differences have a single purpose, single bigger purpose, and also we understand that they're intended to interact with each other, you know, in a way that is very special. And again, that's certainly one of the major differences between Taryag mitzvos and Zayin mitzvos, and so on. So when we think about it, this is, you know, the Torah is, or Torah life or halachic life, is chocked full of dialectics, you know, or tensions. And they're built-in tensions, you know. There's, you know, the theology and the, you know, there's Ben Adam HaMakom and there's Ben Adam HaChaveiro. And then there is the Gashmias and the Ruchnias, you know, parts. Again, even in Mikra itself, we can see the tensions, you know, between them. You know, the story of the Egel HaZahav is a great example of it. And, you know, Vayochlu Vayishtu, you know, Vayechzo Elokim Vayochlu Vayishtu, which is, you know, debated, you know, by the Rishonim in opposite ways. That was a good thing? That was, you know, the nature of Maimed Har Sinai, or it was a terrible breach, right? And the Nazir, the question of ascetic life, or, you know, or human life b'dieven, l'chatchila, olam hazeh, olam abba, ein ben olam hazeh, you know, I'm sorry, ein ashachas b'olam hazeh, you know, worth kol yumos, you know, olam haba, or the Prozdor idea, which we spoke about in the past, you know, two Mishnayos very close to each other in Avos. All these seem to be at odds, you know, with each other. And a bitachon or you know, or hishtadlos. You know, should a person, to use the Rambam's, you know, formulation in Avos, in his Hakdamata Avos, you know, should a person cultivate, you know, dafka, you know, compliance with, you know, and kind of a natural compliance with Chiyuvei HaTorah? Or is the more admirable, you know, individual, this is the Rambam Shmona Prakim, the more admirable individual is the one who has the ability, right, to be, you know, to overcome temptation, but to feel that temptation, you know, acutely. The Rambam, in the end, distinguishes between what we call chukim and mishpatim, what he calls sichlios and shimios. But the point is that there are sichlios and there are shimios, there are chukim and there are, you know, mishpatim. And yet, you know, it's hadvarim ha'ela, it's all one. It's one, you know, which, you know, accentuates these differences. So it's not surprising, given all of this, or given this background, that, you know, from the very, very beginning of, you know, Jewish history, already from the Tkufas HaMikra, and, you know, and of course, time of the Mishnah and the Gemara, and then, you know, the Gaonim and the Rishonim and the Achronim, Adli Amenu Anu, you know, that there have been fierce debates about how to, you know, harmonize, never mind reconcile, how to reconcile is one issue, how to harmonize, how to integrate, and yet do justice, you know, to the specialties that we're talking about. And, you know, how to look at, you know, what the world of halacha really is and how it you know, it connects with the world of, you know, of humanity and the world of the Rabbonu Shel Olam. All of these are kind of endemic, you know, structured in issues, tensions, and questions. And the fact that, you know, there were different expressions, most of which, or many of which, would come under the rubric of Eilu Veilu Divrei Elokim Chayim, of different legitimate approaches of how to do that, as long as you're paying attention to, and, you know, you're committed, you know, to all of the various requirements, but the right balance, the right emphasis, you know, which is the exception, which is the rule, you know, how you, which is the primary, it stands to reason that you have all this. And that's part of what has enriched Torah, you know, from the very beginning, and what allows for us to continue to find wrinkles in creativity. So we'll maybe just pick some issues and discuss them. This is a little bit of a hakdama going forward. Okay.